Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, we're Tegan and Sarah.
And you are listening to Soul Sisters.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Golub.
And coming at you from Midtown, New York City.
In the library.
In the library.
With the microphone.
And I don't remember what else is part of Clue.
Well, it would have been...
It's been a while.
Somebody's name. Yeah. Well, we did that.
Right.
It's been a while. Clue is one of my favorite movies, though, of all time.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Tim
Have
Curry.
Have we talked about that on the podcast? This is ringing
Clue?
A bell.
Yeah. I don't think so.
That'd be amazing if we've talked ourselves out of things and we're talking about Clue again.
Right. No, Bernadette Peters.
Oh, the best.
No. Not Bernadette Peters.
But she's
Who's the
best.
Other one? The one from... who was like... She passed away. And she was in History of the World. Oh, this is going to kill me. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we'll have to figure this out.
Okay. Part two in the next episode.
Yeah.
You remember the name of this actress. Anyway.
Yeah, good music in that movie, too.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
Friday the 13th.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah.
Are you superstitious?
I in my rational mind, I'm not. I'm able to talk myself out of it, but, there's a bit of a spook. Yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah.
I feel a little spook.
Are you afraid of jinxing things? Do you have any?
I knock on wood.
Do you? Okay. You know, I think it's very Jewish to be superstitious.
I think that's right. But also to have the to rational mind to not actually be scared of it.
Is that Jewish
I think
also?
So. because I don't think there's an actual fear of a God who will do anything or something that will actually happen. But that just
it's probably more born out of the fear that something bad is always gonna happen to
us. Yes. Right.
So we should do everything we can to ward that off.
Two.
Oh yeah. I think my great grandparents used to do that. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be a great day. I feel good.
Well, I feel like you just jinxed it, and I'm never going to leave this closet until it's October 14th. Anyway, we have a really cool episode for you all today. It is Tegan and Sarah Day on Soul Sisters.
Look at that big smile.
It's very exciting. I've been chasing them for a long time.
I know. I'm so disappointed I wasn't there.
I mean, they're just the ultimate guests for us. They're sisters. And they're iconic indie artists. They're queer. They just are so emblematic of so many important things that we try to address on the show. And they're so inspirational and they're just so great to talk to. I just had a lovely time with
them.
And
you caught up with them
at the Meadows Festival.
Yeah.
And I was pouring sweat, especially when I started talking to them. It was I was just a little bit hot right before we started rolling. And then I think I got so excited and nervous to talk to them.
The heat plus the nerves.
Yeah. At a certain point, you'll hear me actually call out my sweat mustache because I needed to remove it with the back of my hands. And they were very sweet about it. But they looked perfect. They didn't seem to be affected by the heat at all. I guess that's
what
happens
when you're celebrity? That? How does that happen? I don't know.
Because they... I don't know, because they have really good makeup artists,
right,
probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were sweaty, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were great. So I'm really excited to share this with you guys and to share it with you, Dara, because you couldn't be there. So that's it. Fucking Tegan and Sarah.
Let's go.
On Soul Sisters. Tegan and Sarah.
Tegan
and Sarah. What's up?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Soul Sisters / the Meadows Festival / middle of a parking lot underneath
slash
the train tracks.
Stop. Yep.
A lot of things happening here.
Yeah. It's a good location.
Yeah.
Very central.
Thank you.
You forgot the planes.
Yeah, right. We thought if we're near an airport and a subway and a
worse
stage.
For audio?
Yes.
Right between a subway and airport and that stage that's happening right now.
You know,
it's
we have to rise to the challenge. If we're not interesting enough, people can choose something else to listen to in this recording.
Next time someone comes in and wants to interview us and turn the air conditioning off and get it super quiet and pauses us every time a loud noise happens, I'm going to actually pull this up on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
This interview.
Like, that's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, well, somebody would disagree with you and your sound.
Someone thought sound quality on a podcast was not necessary at all. Anyway, what's going on? It's your last show of the tour, officially.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you're going on in like in an hour, 2 hours, something like that.
Yeah, okay. We go on at 5 p.m.
Nice.
On a Friday afternoon, so we're expecting a large crowd.
Yes, happy hour crowd.
Yeah, happy hour people who apparently didn't go to work today.
Right, or ducked out a little early.
I'm such a Virgo,
what does that mean?
I just have this of course people are not gonna like get off work early enough. Like I'm like imagining everyone like getting to the train late and missing our set. And I don't even care. Like I don't have like an ego about it. I just have dreams where I'm a very organized person. So
yeah.
A 5 o'clock anything always stresses me out.
Yeah. Well, traffic is terrible.
Yeah, like I don't like to do yoga at 5. Right. I don't like to meet people for drinks at 5.
That's fair. I will remind you in New York, you can't really get to a train late. Like there will be another train.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the trains are always late, but
When I lived in New York, I was very stressed if I missed a train, even if it only meant
really?
3 more minutes.
Oh, well, because back then, they probably didn't have those, like, timers that told you when the next train
is coming.
No, they did. Oh, they did?
I didn't live here in the 1800s. Like, I was here just a couple years ago.
Oh, I didn't realize
I
it was that
timers.
Recent.
It's recent-ish.
Okay.
It's recent-ish, but I mean,
you're
like,
right.
I had the timers.
The interview's not going well.
I loved the timers, and when it's basically, like, my whole life is sort of, like, policing the world. Like, I just am, like... This train was supposed to be here at 6:03, and like I like being able to like determine like how systems are working and if they're working on time and that sort of thing. So I actually really appreciate the subway train clocks.
Yeah, is that a Virgo thing?
I think it's just being an asshole thing probably.
When's your birthday?
August 29th.
Oh, you're an early Virgo, which is really different. We're late Virgos. We're the 19th.
Early
Virgos are disasters. You're usually smart and have charisma and stuff, but you're like, ugh, I bet your car's just a mess.
Yeah, it's true.
True, right?
It's true.
Yeah, I've known a lot of early Virgos.
Wait, so what's the sign of a late Virgo?
Organized, particular.
All the better traits? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we're like, take all the good things about being an early Virgo, but like get rid of all the bad things. So we're kind of like just the perfect version.
But then we have a lot of like soulless, cold, aloof Libra qualities. Like,
oh, okay.
Like I look back at like emails I wrote that were like so heartfelt, like just open heart pouring. And I look back on them and I'm like, it sounds like a stone wrote it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're working on
with
that?
With someone stoned.
Yeah.
No, someone, sorry.
Cold-hearted and high.
Yeah.
It's a bad combination.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, so last show of the tour.
Yeah.
Are you ready to say, like, goodbye on to the next, or is it like, man?
You know what? I mean, this is the shortest record cycle ever because we'll only have toured this record just over a year.
Okay.
Usually we tour much longer, so it actually feels really awesome.
That sounds so long to me.
It is. No, it is long. That's the thing.
But for you guys.
But it's like, this is manageable because this was long and it was exhausting and it's awesome. Like, we went to Europe twice and we went to Asia and we went to, like, all over North America, like, multiple times. We went to Australia. Like, it's a lot of touring. So I feel really excited to be done. I feel like instead of ending a cycle, which I usually do feeling exhausted, I actually feel really excited and energized. And so this fall, we're going to actually go out and do a month. In North America playing our record The Con, which turned 10 years old, we're going out and playing a month of dates, which I would normally never agree to because I would normally be so tired from a record cycle. I would be like, absolutely not. Let's put out a book or something and be done with it. But now I'm like, oh, I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'll be glad to be off the road. This Thanksgiving will be done.
Right.
And it's probably going to be a few years before we tour again. And I'm really excited about that. I'm like, what will I learn? What skills will I learn? What hobbies will I pick up? Like, how will I develop as a person? I'm very excited to find out.
Do you usually pick up new hobbies on a tour?
No, but I think 2 years off the road, I'm going to try.
I'm going to learn.
And my goals are to learn a language, get a
Do
hobby.
Do you know which one?
Yeah, I'm going to learn Italian.
Nice.
I've already started.
Bene.
Yeah. Ciao.
There you go.
As you know, there's a huge influx of Italian people living in America now, and they're considering making it the second language.
You know what? And now it's going to sound insane, but there isn't a lot of Italian people, and my girlfriend speaks Italian, and I'm really excited to talk shit about people.
There we have it. Okay.
I'm excited to be somewhere public and talk shit about people
in
Italian.
I know. Oh, it's such a good secret weapon.
Yeah, like what? I've been like, what? French, Spanish? I mean, everybody speaks that. No.
Trying to be original over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you go to Italy and then.
No.
Yeah. You can speak English as your secret language. Yeah. Have you guys started rehearsing for the contour?
No. We are finishing these shows and then we actually go back now to LA to do the rehearsals.
Because I wonder how that will feel to start playing that older stuff again. I mean, I know you play some of it in your shows now, but like to really dwell on that again.
It's actually been cool. I've been learning. I mean, I guess when I think of rehearsal, I think of like organized rehearsal. I've been like playing the songs at home on piano and that sort of thing.
Right.
It's great. I'm trying to be very like, just be in the moment and sing the songs. My tendency is actually to get really critical of them and to be like, why didn't I write a bridge? Or wow, just these two chords through the whole thing, huh? Like interesting. Or you know,
but
like
You can't tinker with it, right?
I'm going to tinker a little bit.
Slightly, yes, you can.
Yeah.
You
totally can. But fans will go nuts.
Not unrecognizable. Okay. Not unrecognizable. Okay. But I also don't have any interest in going out and playing the songs as they were on the record.
Yeah.
Like we purposefully decided to do a more stripped down tour because we wanted to have that freedom. One of my biggest criticisms of that album actually is that it was incredibly challenging and dense to play it. There was 4 billion ideas on those songs. Like, I mean, we just threw down everything.
Yeah.
And it made the songs sometimes feel weird when we tried to do them as they were.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really looking forward to giving them a ton of space and just having the most important things that should be there. And but the most important things meaning the things the fans will miss if they weren't there. So
okay.
I don't think anyone will be... I mean, people always, there's always someone who complains, like you play the song the way it was and they say, I don't know, it just doesn't sound like it did on the record. And then you play it totally different and they're like, I don't know, I like the version on the record better. You know, it's just, you just have to do your thing.
I will say this, we did spend the whole last year playing a bunch of old songs, reworked, and everybody loved it. They freaked out. So I think sometimes you got to give people what they want, even if they don't know they want it.
Totally.
Don't worry about it.
We'll give
you a good, trust us.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like Bob Dylan is like the most extreme version of that, where he plays songs and you're like, I don't know what song that is. And at the end, you're like, I think that was Blowing in the Wind. Never would have known.
Not going to do that. Don't worry. We're not going to pull
it
up.
But it can be very cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Depending.
This is about, like Sarah said, stripping back some of the layers and giving you the essence of the song.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have like a sweat mustache and sweat all over my entire body. Just want to tell everyone, in case you're listening and not watching the video, that's what's happening over here.
It's totally fine.
Sweaty parking lot.
These new cameras they have, they're not revealing or unflattering at all.
Yeah, you're not catching the sweat, guys, right? No. Okay.
They're like, we're not filming yet.
Yeah.
You never said
action. Did you say a roll?
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, so let's talk about the covers album that you just announced. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy lineup. How did you choose the artists on the album?
Well, the day that we started approaching people, Sarah had started with a list, and both of us, she called Lauren from Churches and I called Haley from Paramore, and they both agreed like kind of on the spot, which was really cool. And then we asked one artist at a time, really, because we were really, Sarah and I executive produced it, and we wanted to curate as much diversity as possible, and we really wanted to kind of flip how things normally are. Usually it's just all men with one token woman, and we kind of were like, let's flip that. And we wanted every artist to be LGBTQ or an LGBTQ ally.
Yeah.
Because we're raising funds for our foundation, which is raising funds for organizations that center women and girls in the LGBTQ community. So we really wanted that. So it was just like one artist at a time, and it would be like, all right, we landed more of like an alternative artist, so we need to move in this direction.
So did they choose the songs that they were going to cover?
The first couple did.
Yeah.
When we called Lauren and Haley, we sort of just said, would you guys be into this? And they both had specific songs they wanted to do. But for the most part, we actually just would give a song to a person. And if they wanted to do it, great. And if they didn't, then we would try to find an artist to do that song before we would move on to the next song.
Awesome.
And it was like a process. I mean, it was months.
It took months.
Yeah.
It took months
because you'd wait.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Until that person confirmed and their team confirmed, and then move on to the next person, because it's like, didn't want to put too many requests out. And in the end, I think it is a really amazing and solid group of people. Like, my only heartbreak on the whole thing was we both had talked at the beginning about landing a big pop star or a big hip hop artist.
Yeah.
And we went out to like quite a few, and it just, that was the one. A lot of the artists we love are making records and touring, and there was a lot of like maybe down the road.
Just random. People who actually had, like, for example, Miley Cyrus had expressed, has been an ally.
Yeah, she's like, and she's just someone who has always been really nice to us. And I know for specifically she loved the song Call It Off. And so we actually went straight to her camp and said, would Miley be able to do this? And she was in the middle of her album stuff and she just couldn't do it. So like we did try to secure like somebody that we knew everyone would be like, whoa, that's so cool. And,
right.
But, which I think we did. I mean, the hype about like Paris and you know, Haley, I mean, they're both artists who have just unbelievable audiences, like passionate, really, really excitable audiences. And getting like Ryan Adams and Cyndi Lauper were other...
I'd say a fucking Cyndi Lauper. Like.
Yeah. Like that was a big deal for us too, because in the end, in a strange way, although it was not the intention initially, we ended up getting a lot of artists who have had really integral roles in our career. Like Ryan Adams was one of the first big tours we ever did. And truly after that tour, we could go out and actually sell out theaters because of him. And
that's a perfect song for him too. Back in Your Head, he kills it. Yeah. I got to listen to the album and that was...
So we're thrilled. And so that comes out on the 20th of October. But the pre-order starts on our birthday next week and we're really excited about it. And just humbled. Humbled that so many artists... I mean, it was really easy. Like the artists that did do it, they donated their time. They were on board.
Yeah.
They've been so supportive. And we're just thrilled that... You know, we're really hoping that to raise quite a bit of money for organizations that really need it right now. So,
And they all did it for free, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And their labels waived, like, you know, all of us are signed to labels. Like, they have to give permission, and all the labels agreed. Our publisher and label, like, have agreed to donate the proceeds. Like, it's a really big deal. Like, it's really very cool. Like, a lot of people coming together to give back to the community, and I hope...
Totally.
I think everyone's going to love the music, but I hope everyone loves it.
Executive producers either, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So well,
really, we can only start donating once my executive producer role has been
Yeah, Sarah's a dick, but everyone else was awesome.
Imagine it comes out. Tegan and Sarah took
You're
a
like,
huge...
But that's also a Virgo
took
thing.
Took a huge bonus. Yeah. A huge bonus before the record went out.
I earned it. No, it's been awesome. It was a really cool experience.
It's really fun experience.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys about the foundation. You... have already done so much for the community just by leading by example and the way you speak and write your music and everything. But what was the tipping point for you where you were like, we need to like actually do something that's tangible like this, that's like going to give money to the community?
I mean, it's a learning curve for us. Like, we've always done charitable stuff. And truthfully, it was kind of like all over the place. Like, someone came to us and said, like, there was a fire, help. We'd be like, sure. It's like, we need to help. Whatever, like otters, we'd be like, yes, we want to help otters. Like, so
your accountant was like, can you stop just like writing personal checks for
well
this
also we just were like, instead of being reactive, we were like, is there an area of our activism that we can be proactive in? It made no sense to sort of get involved in some of this other stuff officially, but with the LGBTQ stuff, we were like, this is in our wheelhouse, it's a no-brainer. And if we could be more proactive and strategic in moving money from where it is and where we have access to it to the places where it isn't, we were like, this is just, it's for us, it's purposeful, but it's also, I think, what should probably be required of most of us who get up to a certain level. Like, there's just silly money sometimes that gets thrown at you, and to me, it's like, why not give back, especially to the community that's supporting you?
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that we started to learn as we started to put this foundation together is that there's actually a lot of amazing work being done. It's just being done in sort of siloed kind of ways. And we're, because of our visibility, we can sort of draw attention to a lot of different areas and a lot of different organizations. And so it really becomes about amplifying their work and less about us being like, we're rushing into like whatever. We're just saying, hey, we have a big mouthpiece and big mouths, so we are happy to amplify the amazing people on the ground doing this stuff already.
Yeah.
And so it's been very rewarding and very also just like intellectually very stimulating to sort of like learn a totally different world. Like we're in the music business, we know it backwards and forwards. But to
you
get
mean
into
like the nonprofit world.
The nonprofit world, money, philanthropy, politics, identity politics.
For a second, like, I thought you meant the music industry was a nonprofit, and I was like, kind of, you're right. Yeah,
for only for the artists.
Yeah,
you're right. We had a ton of experience in the nonprofit as well.
No,
it's been so cool, and I feel like we're meeting a totally different kind of person too. Like we spent years with journalists and industry folks and radio people, and now you know we spend a lot of our time with people who are like working in social justice or working in nonprofits or working at HRC or Planned Parenthood. And it's like it's just super cool to sort of all of a sudden be sort of thrust into a totally different ecosystem, and for us it's been very rewarding.
Yeah. You guys are also great just in your like Twitter feed spotlighting artists that you love. And then it's like cool to see a group like Muna show up on the album where it's like, oh yeah, like you guys are actually showing and proving, I guess. Like we love them and we're gonna
We honestly have, I think we have a career because artists took a chance on us. You know, artists like Ryan Adams or Cyndi Lauper, The Killers, I mean, they took us out on tour. Neil Young is who gave us our first record deal. So we've lived and survived and thrived in the music business because of artists taking a chance and taking us out on tour.
Yeah.
So it's always been a part of what we give back. It's one of the first things that we did was always try to find emerging artists, artists that wouldn't traditionally be given a big tour, and fill our support acts with those kinds of artists.
Yeah.
And we were often encouraged not to do that. Don't put another queer artist on. Don't put an artist that's a woman on. And that's pretty much
you can't have two of those things.
Never.
In the same place.
So now we book two before. So now there's three. There's so much, you know, so much pussy. It's unreal. So, but no, I think for us, we saw it as an opportunity, a very easy way for us to give back. And we also we did not have mentors. You know, a lot of the really big queer artists out there, I've never even met.
Yeah.
You know, when we were coming up, there was such a generation gap between the most sort of well-known, invisible queer artists and us that we were sort of on our own. And so we created a community. We're insane. I met Grace Mitchell the other day, like literally like forced my way onto her and was like, if you need anything, I was like the mafia or something. I was like, here's my number. You call me if you need anything.
I
was like, who is this little elf? And but I think that we have to support the next generation. There needs to be a cross-generational support. Sarah and I are still very relevant and can hold the door open for a lot of artists. And while we're still relevant, I think we should. And artists like Shora and Muna and Shamir and like some of the more developing artists and emerging artists that are on the Con Covers record, these are artists who are going to lead in. They are the next wave of, you know, open queer identified artists who are changing things. And they're not identifying in the same way as we did. And like, it's really cool. It's, you know, they're transcending so much that we had to deal with very easily. And it's really cool. And, yeah, I think we see it as, like, in a strange way, even though it's not necessarily about the foundation, it's another way for us to give back, and it costs nothing.
Totally.
It's just visibility. Like, use our social media for good. Like, you know, amplify artists that wouldn't necessarily get heard and use our platform. It's a really fun way to do something that, you know, should be done. I think art, like Sarah said earlier, it should be expected of artists with power and privilege and a platform to give it back.
Yeah. Do you think that that sentiment keeps you guys going in that world, in the sense that a lot of us wake up every morning and we look at Twitter, or we read the news, and we're like, fuck it, forget it, going back to bed, hiding for the next 3 years, like, can't handle it. But I mean, you guys probably have those private moments too.
I live in that moment.
Yeah.
I think that
is that just like fuel
Sarah
to the fire?
She's starting a cult called Asteroid.
It's called what?
It's actually a religion.
Sorry, a religion.
Called Asteroid. We worship the asteroid, and we're just we're waiting for it.
Just hoping,
for it.
Yeah.
Actually, the great thing about an asteroid, it's not like Revelations or Heaven or whatever, where you actually have to prepare to go somewhere else. The asteroid just ends at all. You don't have to prepare
ends
at all.
Ends in misery. Yeah.
It's a great religion. It's very base.
Oh my
God. You know what? I feel just as probably disillusioned and cynical as anyone about social media, but I do think that there is an exercise. I think it is an exercise to constantly be thinking like, what am I promoting? What am I putting my energy into? If we just battle forward through the muck and just try to be positive, will that yield other positive, you know, things? And for the most part, I think that is true. I hesitate to say that I don't think that we contribute something other than positivity. Sometimes I think that we are very critical, and we definitely have become much more political. But my hope is that it's actionable. Like, it's not just like
critical isn't necessarily.
I mean, it's
negative.
It's
it can be productive. So
I think as long as there's like it's actionable. Like, I don't just say like, oh my God, the world is horrible. I mean, to my friends and family, I do. But like,
when we use our social media, I try to say, like, okay, this is bad,
yeah,
but here's a phone number you can call. Like, use your words.
Yeah.
Call your senator. Call your elected official. Like,
right.
That feels like a
We're
way
not
to
trying
be
to
political.
Create despair.
We're acknowledging the despair and then giving you somewhere to put it. And then every once in a while, like, I think about, like, you know, all the discord, the discord around, like, why doesn't this big pop star talk about politics, or why aren't they using their platform?
Yeah.
I hesitate to sort of encourage everyone to steamroll into the social media world with their political beliefs. I think that I don't know if that would have the desired effect, but I do think that, like Tegan was talking about earlier, like, I think that we think about our career and our fans and our reach, both personally and professionally, all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know that everyone should be a mouthpiece for the Democratic Party or anti whatever. I just hope that everyone is sort of like participating and creating good environments and positive environments. And some of those artists are. I know a lot of artists who don't want to talk politically about things,
yeah.
but they have... You know, they hire tons of women, or the tons of queer people, or they do have good politics,
or they show up in a way that's really useful. You know, a lot of people in the social justice world will tell you there's many ways to show up: time, energy,
money. And I think that that's kind of great. And Sarah and I, you know, we don't necessarily have all the money, but we have the time, we have the energy, we have the platform. We're willing to do the work, read, learn, educate ourselves, go take those meetings.
Yeah.
People see us coming too. Like, we're the people like are like, oh my god, such a big fan of your work. Have you considered doing X, Y, and Z? Like, I think people see us coming sometimes and they're like, run away from them. They're going to shame us into something. So,
And we are.
And
someone
I think,
should hire you to, like, hand out those flyers on subway platforms and stuff. Like,
no,
you would actually get people to take them.
I think productivity-wise, I never have understood why people do anything outside of grocery stores or on subway platforms.
I know. I read
those clipboards, they call them. Like, those people that stand there. They raise millions of dollars a year.
I mean, there must be a reason why they're
totally.
Still doing it. Yeah.
It's annoying. It's annoying. It makes me feel stressed out because I feel like a cruel person. Like, I'm actually a very nice Canadian person, so I always want to, like, talk to the people. Like, be
right.
like, no, it's,
I'm from Ohio.
I need to exactly give you the rundown of my next 3 hours, and that's why I can't stop.
Right.
Not because I hate dolphins or children, you know?
So, like, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about why
exactly,
I'm too busy to have this conversation.
I sign it. Whatever. Here,
yes, that's
it.
A very Virgo thing, is not to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm unable to. We have to explain
why we're
I did
not
it at a restaurant the other day. We overordered, my girlfriend and I, and the waiter came over and kind of looked. He looked multiple times, and then he was like, so do you want all this packed up? And I said, no. And he gave me such a look, like I had literally just taken food out of the mouths of hungry children kind of look. And I was like,
which
in
a way,
we actually overordered. Well, yeah, but I was like, oh, we actually overordered. And he just spun around and walked off. And I turned to my girlfriend and was like, that was so rude. And she was like, you don't have to explain to everyone. Like, he didn't need to know. And I'm like, but he did need to know. He looked at me like I did something wrong. He should have told us not to order so much food.
That's an Italian thing, too. It's so insulting not to finish the food.
Well, you know what? We were in a mall,
right?
And I wasn't going to carried around all day. I had garlic broccoli, you know.
Yeah. So funny. All right. You guys have a show to play, so I will let you go. But the next tour starts in October. Covers album is out in October. So October is the month.
October's a big month for it. That's all
big
you need
month.
To know. Step aside, Halloween.
Well, I was going to say, do you have Halloween costumes picked out? Do you guys do that?
We're playing on Halloween.
We are.
Maybe we'll dress up like Tegan and Sarah 10 years ago to celebrate the con.
Pretty much
green stripes in her face. Amazing. I'll cut a mullet into Sarah's head.
Maybe I'll wear a mullet wig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Nice to see you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.